Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and not only is the value of the U.S. dollar dropping, but so is the value of a U.S. life. The Environmental Protection Agency says the statistical value of a life for regulatory purposes is now $6.9 million. That means your life is about $1 million less valuable than a few years ago when it was pegged at $7.8 million. What does it mean to put a number on your life and when the federal government does it? Well, environmentalists say the new figure will mean less environmental protection for everyone, like tighter restrictions on air pollution might have been. Joining us to talk about this issue are Frank O'Donnell, president of Clean Air Watch, a nonprofit group based in Washington, D.C., an environmental group, and Peter Coy, economics editor for Business Week. Thanks to both of you for coming on with us today. Hello.
Thank you. Hi.
Sure. Thanks very much.
Peter, let me turn to you first. Can you break down how exactly the value of a human life is determined by the federal government in dollars and cents?
Well, the idea is that you try to figure out what people themselves, how they value their lives themselves. So you don't go by how much they get paid or how much their family loves them or anything like that. You go by observing their actual behavior and saying, well, everybody throughout their day makes cost-benefit trade-offs. Like, if it's safer to buy a car with airbags versus the one that doesn't have airbags, and then you think, well, how much the airbags cost, and You come at it from several different directions, and you try to come up with a number.
But that's weird, because that depends on how much money you have, right? I mean, you know, I would value, you know, I'll say $25 billion for my life. How about that? $25 billion. But I don't have $25 billion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But the fact is that there are decisions you make, Brian. You may not be aware of it, but every day you're saying, should I, buy, you know, the polyunsaturated oil versus the saturated oil or something like that? It's no one calculation is going to give you the number.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you are everybody, no matter how much or how little they make, has choices that he or she can make that implicitly value how safe you want to be and how
right.
concerned you are.
And remember, we went through this with the World Trade Center Victims
yeah.
Registry and the Victims Compensation Fund, where you know, the poor people who did that had to actually come up with the dollar value of a life for these various people, and they did it based on their potential future earnings and all
yes.
of that. So rich people were worth more than poor people if they were killed at the World Trade Center. But
right.
let me bring our environmentalist into this. Frank O'Donnell, president of Clean Air Watch. How does this value of a life debate translate into environmental policy?
Well, it can only be something that can have a negative effect if it is politically manipulated, as it has been in this case. And let me just thank you, first of all, Brian, for being on the show. I feel like I'm almost a relative of the station. My wife's first cousin is your music director, George Preston.
Oh, wow.
We're all very excited about his twins, and they're worth a lot more than the EPA says they are.
There you go. They're going to get a better education in opera than probably any other set of twins in America. But go ahead.
We first learned about this political manipulation of this issue about a year ago when a couple of us had a briefing with some people within the EPA. And they were getting ready to put together some standards, air pollution standards for big diesel trains and ships, things like ferry boats and so forth. And the numbers on the benefits looked lower than we had expected based on some of the earlier EPA studies. And we said, what the heck is going on here? And they said, well, the White House Office of Management and Budget told us to lower the numbers. So what happens in this case is, if you put on a lower value to somebody's life, preventing their death, then it weakens the case for cleaning up the air. And we've seen a couple of instances where standards that should have been put forward have been delayed. They've been put on a slow path because the emphasis has been taken down a notch.
So you're saying basically the White House told the EPA to downgrade the value of a life. But how does that actually translate into air pollution regulation, say?
Well, let's take, for example, a regulation that has been pending for about 4 years now, and that is standards for smaller engines, things like lawnmowers and other kinds of small engines. These actually in the summer are a fairly significant part of the smog problem in a lot of urban areas. And the EPA has lowered the value of preventing death, and that has essentially put this on a slower path.
And if a life is deemed to be worth $7 million now instead of $8 million, that's going to affect the regulation of lawnmower emissions?
It could well, and it also could certainly take the emphasis off doing something about it more rapidly. And in that case, there was yet another bit of political manipulation that went on.
But wait a minute, it could? Why? I mean, who's going to pay this $7 million as opposed to $8 million that it makes it easier for the regulators to ignore? I'm not sure that I get it.
Well, the fact here is, Brian, that they come out and they justify the regulation by saying the benefits are going to be large. They'll say the benefits far exceed the costs. If you lower the value of preventing someone's death, then you lower the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, they say, well, maybe it's not worth it, or maybe it's not worth it to rush it through so fast. Maybe we put it on a slow path instead of on a quick path. Maybe we don't do it at all
right. If
we lower that value enough. So ultimately, that number can have an impact on whether we go forward with cleaner air or not.
And that
can really be an iffy thing, especially if, as in this case, we know it was done for political reasons.
And it must have some kind of an impact because they're bothering to do it, and they're bothering to pressure EPA to come up with a lower number. Peter Coy from Business Week, did you know that different agencies of the federal government value a human life differently? So EPA's value, from what I've read, for example, still remains one of the highest among government agencies. A human life is worth only about $6 million to the Department of Transportation, which is about $1 million less per life than the EPA's number.
Well, that only begins to capture the craziness of the situation, because even within different agencies, there are huge differences in the implicit value put on a human life. I mean, a bunch of years ago, there was a formaldehyde regulation intended to get formaldehyde out of, I think, furniture manufacturing or something, which had almost no benefit whatsoever to human life and was extremely expensive. And they figured that the implicit value on a human life of that regulation was $72 billion. Meanwhile, there are other things that could be done that would be almost cost-free that are not being done, which in effect puts the value of a human life at around $1. So there is a real need for starting to rationalize this and come up with, you can argue about what the number should be, whether it should be 5 million or 10 million, but at least start to bring the entire regulatory structure around thinking about this in a more concrete, rational way.
And they also, in the environmental realm, figure out the risk, and there's certain acceptable levels of death, right, Frank? So, for example, I don't know if there's one standard one at EPA, but I know that in the past they've tended to look at one death in a million per exposure. So let's say they allow that formaldehyde to be used in the product, whatever it is, and the research on the chemical indicates that one out of a million people exposed to it, the way people tend to get exposed to it, will die or will get cancer. I think that figure, one in a million, actually tended to be used by the EPA for a while as the cutoff. So if one in a million or less were going to get seriously ill or die, then that was an acceptable product to put on the market. If it was any more than that, then it wasn't. Is that too simplistic a telling of it?
I think that is basically right. We have seen some exceptions to that in more recent years in some of the air pollution standards where that old one in a million rule has been kind of swept aside, and now in some cases it could be one in 100,000 or even less, some cases one in 10,000 for some of the standards. So a lot of this can become very subjective, and again, it's a political decision ultimately to decide whether we're going to clean up the air or not. Are we going to have a company pay to install pollution control equipment, which could end up having an impact on consumer prices, for example? Or are we going to pay higher medical costs by not cleaning up the air? They're always political decisions that get made in these matters.
We got a statement from the EPA that didn't want to give us a guest for this, and it says, EPA is committed to using the best available science in all of its analyses, including its analyses of the benefits of air quality rules. To give the public the most complete picture of how these benefits compare to costs, EPA estimates the benefits in dollars. To reflect the latest science, the agency periodically revises its estimation methods, et cetera, et cetera. From our comments page, someone writes, presuming the EPA valuation only applies to Americans, it would be interesting to compare the value of life in other countries, say Iraq. Peter, do you think they did that before launching the war?
No, I would say they probably did not.
And somebody else writes, how do you treat incoherence in people's behavior if you use protective behavior to set a dollar value on a life? For example, I may spend lots of money on an airbag and very little on my gym membership for cardio. With each case, you put a different price on life. Frank?
Well, I think one of the things that this really goes to is taking a lot of this with a grain and not necessarily, you know, there's a reason they call economics the dismal science. This is the kind of thing when you start evaluating some of these government policies, you really have to take it with a grain whether this should be the deciding factor. For example, right now the EPA is prevented by law from factoring in this kind of cost and benefit thing when setting national air pollution standards for widespread pollutants like smog and soot. And the reason for that is that they are supposed to represent what science says is acceptable air quality, what is safe to breathe. If you start manipulating that with a cost kind of a figure and a benefit kind of a figure, you can really warp the results. And economists have long said, oh, yeah, we ought to do that. We ought to put a dollar figure on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't always put a dollar figure on everything. You know, we didn't end slavery after a cost-benefit test.
Right.
We didn't end child labor laws after enact child labor laws. I mean,
yeah.
There's some things that maybe exceed the idea of this kind of thing.
And we're just about out of time, but Senator Barbara Boxer, who almost came on with us today and then her schedule didn't permit it, said she's going to introduce legislation to reverse the devaluation. But how would you like to be the guy? I mean, you know, you go to a bar, you know, you're a single guy and you're trying to meet people, and you go to a bar and somebody says, well, what do you do? Well, I set the value of human life in dollar terms for the federal government. What do?
That's a great pickup line.
So that's, you know, what a job. Somebody actually has that job. So I want to thank both our guests, Peter Coy from Newsweek and Frank O'Donnell from Business Week. I'm sorry, Peter. Peter Coy, economics editor for Business Week, and Frank O'Donnell, president of Clean Air Watch. Thanks, both of you, for coming
on.
Thank
you so much. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.